All right, let's see. We've got some questions here in Q&A, coaching team. Let me, because this is teeny, teeny, oh, I can't even see with my glasses. All right. Danelle, are you there? Of course you are. Danelle. I know you're there because you put
it. I actually don't see her yet. I think she added this early, so let's circle back.
Okay, so we'll circle back. Grant, are you there?
Grant is
yes,
here.
Yeah. I am here.
Hey, Grant. These because if you guys submit your questions in Slido in advance, we typically start with those and they get upvoted. All right. Do you want to talk? So when you, Grant's question was, can we talk a little bit more about the difference between personalization, like a limiting belief, and becoming and taking extreme ownership and accountability, like a more positive practice? So Grant, do you want to give us just a little context and color for how that, like what you mean and how that's showing up for you?
Yeah, I'm trying to refresh my memory. This was from a couple of weeks ago, by the way. Okay. So right. My recollection was that, you know, when I think of personalization, your call from a few weeks ago on everything is my fault if it's not going totally right. Am I characterizing that right? And that, yep. And that seems like it's a little bit at odds with this concept of taking accountability for everything in your practice, which is generally good, right? And so that was the crux of my question. And off topic for today.
Yeah. Can we acknowledge, no, it's perfectly fine. Can we acknowledge that there is a difference between taking responsibility? Responsibility at its core means response able, as in we can take ownership for, right, what happens and our response to it, good or bad. And right, so in that sense, taking personal responsibility is the same. Hold on, let me back that up. A limiting story, right? I am bad is very different than I am taking responsibility. You don't have to beat yourself up to take responsibility. It's not called response beat yourself up ability. It's just called response ability. So a limiting belief, I'm an imposter, I can't do this, I'm never going to get my website working, that will stop you from taking responsibility. That's the, they are literally, they're not the same. They are the opposite of each other, right? Because if I can't get clear on what's standing between me and that responsibility, Adam can tell you loads of stories about, right, things he worked on in Limitless for a while. And then there was some moment of clarity, some insight, some recognition where he was like, oh, I haven't really been taking responsibility. I've been right going through that efforting and activity, but it's not necessarily aligned with the outcomes that I want. So they're the inverse of each other in that sense. Adam, anything you want to add to that from just your own experience?
It's funny that you mentioned that because Andrew and I were just having a conversation about that a couple of days ago, just the incredible journey and impact that simply changing the narrative of how you talk to yourself. I can't emphasize enough how important it is to understand how impactful the phrase, be careful what you say to yourself because you're listening, how important that is and how much that influences how you show up in your day-to-day life. And the absence of actually being aware of that, right? John Asraf writes in his book, Inner Size, and this is all about neuroplasticity, right? And those of you that know me, know Steph, and you're here for a reason, right? One of the biggest differentiators of Limitless is the importance of mindset work first, though, which is neuroplasticity. The ability to be aware of how you're showing up is, I don't know what percentage it is, but it's huge. Because unless you're aware of what you're telling yourself, everything downstream of that makes it very difficult to change because you're swimming against the stream. You're going up grain, or against the grain, I should say. So, because if you don't understand the story that you're telling yourself, all the tactics in the world of getting my website up and running and figuring out my conversion numbers and how do I script out my prospect process, all of that just becomes so much harder unless you first do the work to understand what story you're telling yourself and what your belief structure is. So you know, that's kind of, I think that's a decent add-on, if you will, to what you had said, Steph.
Yeah. Yeah. And like to Adam's point, everything that you like, every time you've made up your mind to do something, you've found a way or made one. That's just how we work. It's how we're, when that motivation and that commitment meet, we simply find a way or we make one. The answer to most everything we need is on Google. Not maybe all at once in perfect form, but that next best step, right? Whether it's finding a person, finding a resource, finding a, I'm going to sneeze right now. Pardon me. See, I'm allergic to being, I'm allergic to being inside today. That's what it is. I need the clear mountain, cool mountain air. So it's about the space that we sit in. And once we know, I think there's a great story of, I don't know, Matt Nelson, one of our alumni, he was at our last, at this last retreat. Many of you met him. He is where the phrase, the new normal came from, right? He came up to me at the first retreat in the beginning of the year and said, like, I don't, today my goal was like 250. And then you told me to double it. Like it was 500. And I have no idea how I'm going to do that, but oh my God. And then he comes up at the September retreat and he gets there and we're at the end of the retreat. We're at, I don't remember where we were, Adam. We were in this honky tonk or bar or something someplace. And it's the end, closing part. And he comes up to me at the end and he's like, I totally get it now. He's like, I am surrounded by a group of people who are building that $1 million 100 day off practice or whatever their version is. And they're on it. They're possible. They're already doing it. He's like, it just created, like being here just created a whole new normal, right? So for him, when he went to do his website for the very first time, like to update it, he called up and it had been like 3 months. And he's like, I just keep putting it off and I keep putting it off. And we had, right, just a conversation about what was really stucking him, as I like to say. And it turned out that he knew in his heart of hearts that he should pick a niche before updating his website, because that would mean he wouldn't have to go back and redo it. And he had been doing his inner battle, right? We spend most of our time fighting with ourselves about reconciling the, and so that's how his it showed up as procrastination. Procrastination is never procrastination. It's you avoiding some feeling, experience, or outcome, right? Everything is a strategy if we're not doing things we say we want to do. So Grant, does that help you understand a little bit like the difference and then how it like so stealthily shows up in your day-to-day life?
It does. And Adam's add-on was helpful too in doing the work of the mindset stuff or the meditating and journaling and working through what you're lying to yourself about is half the battle to get through that.
It really is. I've been saying a lot lately that we spend about 90% of our energy fighting with ourselves, because if we don't let the feeling, the thought, what like, That's our body's way of saying, pay attention. There's something to be tended to here, right? Good feelings, we want more. Negative feelings, we want bad, but we tend to stuff them down, work over them, get busy, say, we'll deal with it later. Think it's too complicated, not want to hurt somebody's feelings, not know the answer. And so we just work over it. And there is just a point where when you contain all of that, you're going to feel it. It's going to show up. It shows up in procrastination. It shows up in uncertainty. It shows up when we beat ourselves up, when we feel like we're so behind and we're not caught up. And why aren't I doing more? So our work, Grant, is to sit in that space of awareness to Adam's point. Adam's raising
one his quick, yeah, one quick add on to that. And I just want to emphasize the importance of speaking it out loud. You can't think this stuff. You have to talk it out loud. And I'm just taking that A from my personal experience, as well as just when we run the common sense test, what does every Hollywood actor do every time they're on screen? They sell us that it's not like one of the movies that I can't wait to go see is Air, the Michael Jordan shoe story with Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Who plays Jordan's wife or wife mom, excuse me. Anyway, I can't wait to see that movie, but I'm not seeing Ben Affleck and Matt Damon and Viola Davis on screen. I'm seeing the characters of who they've transformed themselves into being and the belief structure that they have to play that role, to sell us on screen, that we're not watching them. We are watching professionals act. Why should we be any different when we engage in a prospect or we engage in a client conversation, when we rehearse how we're going to show up and present ourselves and be most intangible product, if you will, that we sell, which is financial peace of mind, financial security, and the strategies that we recommend, which are plastered with past performance, which is no guarantee of future results. So we have to sell the most intangible product, which is our beliefs, our convictions, and our advice. And why would we think that we should be able to show up and be the best version of that if we never rehearse it, never say it out loud? So I can't emphasize enough how important it is to say this out loud to yourself. Sounds weird, but it's so impactful.
Yeah, the most powerful drug that we have is positive emotion belief and expectancy. Your brain is radically hardwired to pay attention to emotion. It is why guys are at such a disadvantage in certain areas, because right, our social norm is we don't acknowledge and embrace and let our feelings pass through us and surface it and say it out loud and acknowledge that we feel insecure. We just were like, we're good, it's fine, it's great, we're moving on. And the problem is there's a tax to that. Every single time, it's like a little piece of Velcro stuck in you. And then you get 50 or 100 or 100,000 of those. And in spite of all of the effort that you're exerting, you're like, I don't feel like I can move. And so that's where we want to remind ourselves that our number one objective in life and in work is to feel good. Because when things are working the way they're supposed to, when they're aligned, our vision of our actual self and life and the one we're living, when they're aligned, we feel in congruence, we feel ease and peace and joy. And when they're not, we don't. And our job isn't to ignore it. Our job is to surface it, embrace it, and be like, hey, big bear hug, what's going on here? Because on the other side of that is some more damn peace and ease and joy. Like, if you want to be happy, do the work. If you want to stay less happy, don't do the work. And so the strongest drug we have is positive emotion. Your number one job during the day is to check in and be like, do I feel good? If not, how do I focus on something that feels good? I'll think about my kids. I'll think about like an awesome moment on the beach in Hawaii or Costa Rica, like things that just naturally we're teaching ourselves how to create state. State is when we make the big decisions and then lock them into our brain so that the motivation to do it is later. Why do you think Tony Robbins has people like spend days jumping up and down? And like, because what they're getting to is a state where their brain waves are actually in a place where what they decide goes whoomp into their head and their motivation center, and that you get rewired radically quicker, and then they leave and it's set there. Like they now have that track to run on, which they of course, right, have to take massive action on, right? Which is what Tony Robbins is all about, state and massive action. That's the formula. We talk about state stories and strategies. Strategies are how you take action. I'm not a fan of massive action. I'm a fan of the next best step and taking inspired action, because you do this crazy leapfrogging thing where you don't have to exert so much effort, but it's all based on clarity. So Grant, hopefully that helps you a little bit. And obviously when we're talking to Grant, we're talking to all of you. If there is some place where you don't feel like, hell yeah, we're crushing it, I'm doing what I need to do, I'm clear, I'm focused, and I'm working on the things I need to be working on, then that's your work this week, is to check in with that. Like Adam talked about, like he journaled profusely. I think he still does, right? His first year. Whenever I get stuck on something, I always go to the journal. Like that's active mindfulness. So if you're one of those, I can't sit still, journaling is the best way to start, or guided meditations, right? The ones we've talked about, How to Meditate by Jeff, whatever, on calm.com is awesome. He's like quoting Led Zeppelin. It's 10 minutes. Those are the places to start. If you're not in that sit still space, it's okay. You're right. What we're just trying to do is wrangle the wild horses running through our minds. Like, can we just put a bridle on it so that we can focus it and then use journaling or guided meditation as a way to surface, create greater awareness? And then we all know the benefits of both of those things are well documented on every facet of your life, health, wealth, well-being. So says Harvard and all the other big names in neuroscience research. Does that help you guys? Does that land with anyone besides Grant? Circle of trust here? Thumbs up, whoops. Like you're all on mute, so we can't really do that. But yep, so you got lots of thumbs up, Grant. You're not the only one with those questions around what do I do with the voices running loose in the hallways of my mind, right? Our job is to acknowledge, hey, this is what's happening right now. I'm thinking crazy thoughts like, whoa, is that really true? Is your first most powerful question. Is it really true? 99.9% of the time, the answer is no. It's a story you're telling yourself. And the second that you separate yourself from it, when you say it out loud or write it down, you're not it anymore. Now you can have objective awareness. Now you can take agency over it. That's why, right, we do those things. All right, did Sarah join us? I know Sarah had a question. Ethan, you're here. You there?
I am here.
You're rolling out your new website.
Yeah, I think I was on the phone with the marketing firm on Friday. They said they're going to have a first draft to us this week. So we're going to peel through it and see if we like the messaging and everything. But just trying to get ideas. We're going to be going through Surge, so going to maybe highlight it to the clients, like as just a little fun part of the meeting, just saying, you know, take a look, see if you think this is how, what represents us. But just wanted other ideas or best practices on how do we leverage this and get the most bang for our buck, since we just dropped a bunch of money to get a new
website. Great. Well, one, I'm going to let the other coaches talk. I did just want to point out, if you want to schedule a call to go through that as a live member, like we can go through it. And when you get that first draft and give you feedback.
Perfect. That would be great.
Adam, I know you're updating your website. Do you want to, anything you want to share, Lauren, around just plans for launching websites? And then I'll add in just any general feedback in terms of what we've done.
Yeah, in all honesty, I'm kind of right at that phase of getting ready to roll out and send out that messages. I anticipate it'll be part of, I mean, I will mention it in the podcast that we recently updated the website. Part of it on the website update was doing a much better job of actually categorizing. I tried to combine categorize and catalog into one word, and I didn't work out too well. To catalog the podcast much better on the website and have it a little bit more searchable. So we'll emphasize and mention that. But in all honesty, not an area that I have a whole lot of expertise. So I will be embracing the who, not how here, and relying on our dev team and that firm to kind of guide us in that process as well. But at a minimum, it'll be in our Planning Life on Purpose monthly newsletter. It'll be on the, we'll do a blog post on that, which will automatically go out in the RSS feed to every newsletter subscriber. It will be mentioned in a podcast. Those are the three pillars, if you will, that are what I anticipate new or low hanging fruit right now.
Yeah, Ethan, a few things to add. I love that that kind of coincides with your Surge meeting time. I think you could, you know, do some, maybe like some teasers leading up to when it launches, you know, like, hey, we're, you know, going to have this new website. Here's a little preview or something like that, either, you know, in your emails or social media. You also have a lot, you know, mostly local clients. I don't know if there would ever be any sort of opportunity to do a little website launch party or something. Just, you know, you have a unique situation since most people live near you. But yeah, I think generating excitement and, leading up to it versus like, hey, it's live, here it is just more enticing to people.
Yeah. And I'll add, you know, my experience has been that if you do a brand launch well, you will find that it creates referrals, oftentimes share of wallet, right? We think we have all of the money. And so I believe in the library, there should be a letter. There's probably a couple samples, but it's a brand, launch letter that I wrote years ago. And it basically is a letter that says, hey, changes on the inside. We want, right, new, better, progressive, innovative, awesome, right? Whatever, right? Whatever you want to, whatever messaging positions you want to put in front of them, that's your opportunity. And then it's, right, changes on the inside. We wanted to really reflect that on changes on the outside. We've updated our website to reflect. We do our best work with, right? Insert brand messaging. Here's the link, right? Feel free to check it out. I love Lauren's idea of, right, teasing into it in those client meetings. It could be up on the website when they come into the conference room, right? So you could be like, hey, check out our new website. Part of the follow-up, right, could be that brand rollout letter. So it just depends on how you want to time it. But typically you'll do that with all of your clients. You'll do it with all of your COIs. You'll do it with all of your mailing list, your social. So think about your brand channel wheel, right? Every touch point on that, you want to have a version of that, right? New and improved, changes on the inside, changes on the, like whatever your theme for that is. And you want to hit that pretty consistently. You'll talk about it in client meetings. And then you can do, if you're doing any kind of COI cultivation, right, you can layer additional, like here's a link on X. This is something we're going to be doing with clients this year. Just wanted to let you know, this is one of the ways we'll be taking that team approach we talked about. So we can talk more specifically about the details of your marketing channels and how to Adam's point, if it's a podcast, you're going to navigate it a little bit differently than if you're sending letters to cold prospects, if you will.
Ethan, and I believe we might've talked about this, but I'll share it with the group too. Another opportunity I think is when the website is, you know, you're feeling like it's in a good place to share it with some of your ideal clients and get their feedback and say, you know, we designed this with clients like you in mind. We love working with you. We want to work with more clients like you. So it can be like a low key referral strategy, but then you're also getting their feedback and making sure it lands with those clients you're trying to generate more of.
It's a great point, Lauren. Like just a few simple questions like, hey, when, if you can think back on when you first came to us, what prompted you to come to the website? Right. Do you remember, like, what are the pain points that you had? Like, is there anything missing here that we should be speaking to? So it's just, I think to her point, very much like those client and COI interviews, anytime you do that, it's a natural opportunity to deepen the relationship, deepen the messaging, which just naturally tends to increase referrals if they are a referring type of person. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah, very helpful. Thank you.
Awesome. You're so welcome.
A lot of good ideas.
Julie, you had a question about your website?
Yes. On ours, part of what we're doing is because we are going to be moving into this new niche, a good chunk of our clients aren't that niche. And because we're developing a whole new service model around this niche, just curious how that's going to go over.
So I think, Julie, I don't know, I think you're cutting out a little bit. So Julie's question, so Julie has a general client base. She's now shifting to a niche. So you're going to be updating your website, right?
We could be marketing it to our existing clients, et cetera. I'm just wondering how that's going to go over because we don't plan.
Right. I don't think Julie knows she's cutting out. That is Julie's question. So we're going to, I think she's on a little bit of a delay. Adam, do you want to talk about that? Because you have actually lived through that. You're going to kind of contain the advice that we gave you in that same process.
Yep. So the biggest thing that I can emphasize the importance of doing when you're messaging a different brand like this to a different subset, to a different audience, is to emphasize the importance that your existing clients and the level of experience and service that they've come to expect from you is not being compromised or jeopardized by you making a shift to go in a different direction. What I would also ask Julie is the new level of service that they're rolling out even going to be applicable to the existing clients, right? When we rolled out the existing or the additional services for our optometric private practice owners, for our existing clients that weren't private practice owners, who cares? That's not services that they would have been interested in because they don't own an optometric practice. So there's a disconnect or there's no disconnect in what we were doing because, again, there wasn't alignment of service and value. I think, again, just to iterate it again, let your existing clients know what you're changing. The biggest thing that I realized from a surprise standpoint is how much they embraced it and how excited they were for me to make that decision and take the firm in that new direction, as long as I reassure them that, look, we're not changing the foundation here. We're just adding on, right? This wedding cake layer that we talked about from a service standpoint.
Awesome. All right. I don't know if Julie caught that, but it's on the recording.
I was going to say, I saw someone drop out of frame like 10 seconds into my answer.
That's right. We caught it. So Julie, so, if you come back to this.
Right, so we are, what are we, 29 minutes into this conversation. So make a note to Julie to go back to about the 27:30 mark and listen to that answer.
Awesome. All right. We're going to take one more question.
Hey, Steph.
Oh,
can we, it's Christy. Can we stay on that topic for a minute?
Yes.
Because this is terrifying. I'm in the midst of doing this right now. Right. And it's terrifying.
What's the fear? Like, what's the story in your head? Like, what's the bad thing that's going to happen?
So the story in my head is like, why am I doing this? Right. Like I have a great business where all my clients are super happy, but I have this bug in my bonnet of like, well, I have to have a niche because everyone says I have to have a niche. And so I need to have a niche. And if I'm going to have this niche, then I need to have the website that talks to the niche. And like, I feel like I'm unnecessarily rocking the boat. It's like the whole thing of like, well, you have to go RIA. Well, why do you have to go RA? Well, because all the cool kids are doing it. Like,
you've got berries on the bush right here. And I know that the forest on the other side of the mountain looks so appealing, but why would you leave the berries on the bush? So the fundamental question there is behind the story, what is your underlying belief architecture around a niche? Like, do you genuinely see the value? Do you want, like, because that fundamentally, right, if you don't really get it and you're like, actually, I'm happy and I don't need that or want that level of optimization or deeper value or efficient specialization, then okay, you don't have to have it. No one's making you.
Right. And that's the thing. It's like, so now, like, I know that, like, I have the more and better that calls, right? Yeah. And it won't go away. It won't shut up, right? Like, right. But, like, you know, in making this business case, right? Like, I think about, like, if I sat down with my husband and I was like, so, like, I kind of view it as like when I started my practice, you know, when I was 26, I joked that it was like, when I was 26 years old, I joked that it was like the worst business proposition to make to my husband. Like, so I have this great, you know, I'm an employee at this great company. I have this great job that I love. I make really good money. And I'm going to leave all of that and go make no money and take on a huge amount of stress and risk and liability for like a long time. But I, like, in a while, I'll make a lot of money and it'll be worth it. Right. Like, it's like the worst business case that you can make, you know, in a lot of ways. And it feels like I'm doing that again now with going into this niche, right? Like, where I'm saying, and kind of putting my initial message was, this is terrifying and it's all this knees knocking stuff. And I feel like I'm just having the sanity check of like, am I really doing this? Like, why do I really need to do this? And I think what you're calling me on right now is saying, like, you know, your purpose kind of has to be greater than the pain.
The why has to be bigger than the what if. And so that's why sometimes, like, that's the check-in on, you don't want to move to a niche because Adam and Lauren and I and Jack, like, hey, it's a great idea. Very much to your point, when you made that decision 10 years ago or whatever it was to say, hey, I'm going to make this investment because if I do this and I, you know, I put in the effort, right, 10 years from now, I'm going to have this really great practice. Like, you weren't like going off pie in the sky. You had relative examples to say, yeah, right, this is likely the outcome if I'm willing to do the work. And if we're lucky, we continue to have those kinds of leaps throughout our career, going back to that relationship to money and success conversation about, remember, we start in survival, move to relief, achieve comfort, and then that next level is expansion. It doesn't mean we're in expansion all the time. We might hang out in comfort for a few years. We might have some kids, and then we might wake up one day and be like, ooh, we're gonna unretire. Right. And go this direction.
Can you say that again? What's the it's relief? What was it? Relief, comfort,
survival.
Expansion.
So we start survival. Yeah, we move to relief if we're right fortunate.
Right.
Once past relief, there's a level of comfort. Like, okay, I can pay the rent. I have. I'm saving some money. I have a nice lifestyle. Maybe have an amazing lifestyle. And that next level is expansion. Personally and professionally, it might mean that you go find passion projects with your free time. That's where you're going to invest that energy to create challenge and purpose. It might be family that you invest your time in, right? Like Tanya, you have done that. It might be, right, taking the business to the next level, like Adam did, like, hey, now I want to, right, invest that time to go through an expansion phase. You might be doing stuff personally, right? I'm in a personal expansion phase. Like, that's where a lot of my energy is going, right? So our job is to just check in sometimes and be like, how am I feeling? Is this a big leap that you're, because every big leap, don't you have your knees knocking a little bit?
Totally.
Taking a big one and been like, peace out, I got this. It's not a big start knocking. So
right.
That gut check of, is this an aligned, inspired action, like that healthy knees knocking? Or is this your intuition being like, hey, like, let's pause and check in on whether niche is legitimately right for us. Like, don't just drink the Kool-Aid. Is there a business case and a life case that you feel like, is that genuinely where more and better lives?
Yeah. And I do feel aligned and inspired by this. And I think a big like aha that I had, I listened to Taylor and Michael Kitsis did an office hours and I listened to the replay of it. And it's the whole thing of around like a niche doesn't have to be, you know, a profession. It can be people that have the same pain points.
Yeah.
You know, and that really resonated with me as I'm working, and I've like paid the big girl dollars and I've hired the firm and I'm doing like, I know I'm not the right one to do this, you know, but still, it still feel like right when, you know, before you pull the trigger, you're kind of like, are we really doing this?
Yeah.
You know, because like, I've got, you know, like why rock this boat?
Do you want to tell everyone what you're shifting to so that they're not just in mystery?
Right. So we are doing our rebranding as being the financial planning firm for busy families with big dreams. And we have $1 million minimum. We charge 1.5% on the first million. Our average client revenue right now is around like 12,000. We're going to be, you know, moving that to 15 to 20 and kind of, and we're doing the one in one out model right now. So we're not looking to really grow and have this huge, breadth of impact. It's the depth of impact. And the goal is that our website turns away like 95% of people, but for those that come to it, that they're like,
yes,
like, yes. They're like, where do I sign up?
But you know? Christy,
Adam is over here just like, I've got something.
Well, like, okay. How is that so much different than the current clients that you serve? That's not that far off.
It is
writing on our website.
It is though, Adam. Like we have a lot of retirees that we love that are like, I wish my passion was retirees. I wish that was my passion, right? But and they're incredible. Like they're so much more. They're so profitable. They're so nice. They're so easy, right? And I'm like, that's great. I
find myself asking that question about once every other 2 weeks as well, for the record. Like, okay. Every now and then I'll talk to Kathy and Jonathan.
Yeah,
working with retirees would be so much easier than trying to build this airplane as we fly it. But it's in service of something bigger because candidly, I would get so bored. No offense to everybody working with retirees. Okay, I'm not here to rain on your parade, okay? But I would get, if I have to have one more Social Security maximization question, I would want to put my five bullet running gun. Like that's just, that's maybe a gross metaphor
same,
to use, but
same.
That's just not fulfilling. But here again, I go back to, but by you making this shift, it's not compromising the experience or the conditions of what your existing clients are going to receive, right?
No, it's not.
You're gonna move people out though. You said the one in, one out, right?
It will be a slow transition given the growth rate.
Right. It will be
unless you decide to turn that up. Well, that's been intentional. Unless you decide to turn that up, which you could certainly do.
Yeah. I mean, and this is the other thing is that our web designer that's doing our copy and our marketing and our branding, she's like, she is challenging me to put apply to work with us.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh,
Adam, do you remember when you were like, I have more prospects, what do I do? And I was like, start a waiting list. And Adam was like, what? Now he's like, turn on the waiting list. Boom. Like doesn't even think about it anymore.
Kathy will get calls and people will say, I looked on the website, is it really 7 weeks to do a triage call? Like, yeah, it is. And working with medical professionals, maybe there's a little bit more of an understanding because if they have a patient that's a non-emergency and they want to refer to the top retinal specialist in their area, like they know. So maybe there's a little bit more of an understanding, but we still get the questions. And here's the last thing I'll say, or not the last thing I'll say, but one little cherry on top of this conversation. And this is something that I had to get comfortable with as well. We are not as special as what we think we are.
Yeah.
As much as they love working with us, there is life beyond our relationship. And maybe that's not exactly related to what you're talking about here or to your fear. But I experienced that personally by shifting, or internally, if you will, by shifting clients over to John. And then just as we transition clients out, they're better served by someone else anyway.
Yeah. And Christy, I think for you, you know, directionally, it's just, can you put a container around it and come up with a conversation with clients that you feel good about?
Right.
And that's the thing. When we don't know how to explain, that helps us feel an integrity, like, ooh, what are they going to think? Or are they going to think I've gotten too good for them? Or they're going to leave me? then we get below the line and then we, right, then we hesitate to have the conversation. The conversation, I'm sure there's a letter in the library somewhere or a script, but the basic conversation is, right, we've so enjoyed our, you know, our relationship with you and Bob, it's been really great. Over the last few years, what we've noticed is maybe it's just where we are in life and right where we are with our family, but right, the vast majority of our new clients are busy family with big dreams. So you're going to notice that on the website and some other places, that's going to start to shift. You don't need to worry about anything, right? Everything's going to stay the same for you. It's right. This is just where we've really decided to focus and specialize our growth because that's right, an audience that we really feel like we can deliver deep value to. As always, if you have friends or family that have financial questions, we want to be your first phone call. If we're not the right fit, we'll give them some resources or point them in the right direction, right? So you just want to be like, hey, we're here. We're not pushing anybody away. We're your go-to. And right. So the whole, like, we've just been getting a lot of is sort of like, hey, the world is just coming at me and I'm responding. It's not like I'm kicking anybody out. It's I'm being selective because I have this great group of people that are coming in. So it's a much more above the line framing. And then it's just, hey, everything's going to stay the same for you. And you're just going to see, like, you know, things on the website, right? You'll see those updates. But outside of that, everything's going to stay the same. No big deal. You're putting a container around it.
But that's the thing is that I have to be careful about it, right? Because it may not stay the same because I might, 3 years from now, I might end up graduating that client. So like, okay. I need to have that.
This is not a permanent tattoo, Christy. Like this isn't a forever business agreement. Like every year you get to like think about your business and decide, do I want to make changes? So if it's not 6 months out, you're still, you know, like if this is 2 or 3 years out, right? Again, unless you turn on that pipeline, it really is. You're absolutely okay to go back in 2 or 3 years and say, hey, you know what, this busy family, big things is really taken off and we're going to focus 100% of our energy there. And the way we can best be of service to you is to refer you to someone who specializes in working with retirees, because the way that we're going to, right, we really understand the issues. We're not going to be able to maintain that level of knowledge and proficiency on the retirement side. We want to send you over to Ethan because his firm rocks at that. And they're going to be like, well, that sucks. I love you so much. And
I'll be like, and you'll get over it.
Because now you're not about me anymore, but now you have like handed me off to someone who is about me. And that feels kind of good.
Yeah. No, I mean,
43 minutes into this recording, go back and listen to that and transcribe that, because that is a perfect messaging to send out to clients when you're thinking about shifting. That was, and you can just insert, we're shifting from blank to blank. Steph, what you said there is perfect. Okay.
I bet if we ask Allison Nice, we can get that transcribed and make it a resource in the library if it's not already and add it to inbox just as a point of reference. All right. Did everybody, well, I guess you were all in my room. We could have hung out there for just a little bit longer. That's right. Ethan, do you want to talk through your questions since we're back?
Sure.
All right. I lost the chat from that room. Can you just share it with the group for us?
Yeah. When we were at the March retreat, on the main stage, at some point you were talking and it was an anecdote of a story where somebody approached you and was like, hey, we need to generate X amount of new business or something in a short period of time. And so you helped them kind of come up with like a 90-day sprint of like, here, just do these things, you know, focus on, but that it was, you didn't really expand on it there. It was just something you're like,
so there's talk about a lesson called, I think it's called Marketing Kickstart. Allison would know. And it's actually a lesson that we had Tiffany do to dive into that conversation and exercise. So Tiffany called me, if you all know Tiffany's story, literally it was like when we talk about how she called me crying because she had to choose between like underwear and socks for her kids. Like that's like, she got paid largely on revenue that she helped grow. And in spite of her 60 and 70 hour work weeks, she was not growing. And she's like, I don't have any more time. I can't, like, I cannot do any more. And I can't buy my kids both underwear and socks. Like, this is it. Like, that's enough. And so I was like, okay, here's the thing. If we work the plan will always work. This has just been my experience over 20 or 30 years at this point. The issue is we've got to have a very simple, concise plan. This is not our 3-year runway plan, right? That should be happening, right? We're investing and building in our blog or our pod, whatever it is. And then we need to really look at where are the low-lying fruit. Now, we were talking about this early. It's some weird form of kismet. I don't know exactly when or how it works. There's some really cool quantum physics research around it, if you're into like zero-point field or anything. But basically, if you're out there engaging in activities, making the phone calls, doing the things that involve, right, people and humans, not just hiding in your office, writing blogs for days on end, activity begets activity. So the idea is, what are the activities that you can do? I call them your three RPAs. So with Tiffany, I said, step one is we've got to just really get our momentum going on that near-term marketing, right? Like the near-term funnel. And that's usually things like referrals, social media, right? Like it's not like I'm going to start a podcast and get clients next week. So one, identify all of your potential near-term channels. So if you imagine that branding wheel, or now imagine the marketing wheel, right? Like here's the goal, here's your big stuff, right? Whatever they are, my big COI campaigns, my blog, I speak, whatever, you know. And then like, what are these near-term things is what you want to start to figure out. Like, where can I generate? So clients, obviously referrals are a really obvious place. Centers of influence are an obvious place, especially if you're doing any of that marketing, right? Social media, you can get that gearing up pretty quickly. Especially if you've got a niche, right? You can get those campaigns building, and it just takes somebody, they don't care if you've been there for 6 years, right? Just momentum if someone clicks on those things. And then Ethan, we want to look at, are these other things the appropriate feeders, and are we investing enough in them consistently so that they start to push into this near-term opportunity pool? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think, and the reason we're doing the new website and rebranding is we have in the tax and accounting practice, we used to get a lot of our new business from there, and we've drained that, and we're not actively growing the tax and accounting practice anymore. So that's gone. And then after we kind of tapped that, we utilize all of our kind of local and warm connections. And now it's, how do we expand our circle, but not take 3 years to get a digital marketing plan rolling and stuff like that. My wife's quitting her job at the end of May to take care of the new baby in July. And so it's like, pressure's on, time to start making more money. And
totally get it. Those motivators are really compelling, aren't they?
Yeah.
So step one, go watch that lesson on marketing RPAs that Tiffany did. So the idea is you're going to start every day doing three revenue producing activities. The more urgent, the more direct the activity, the less urgent, right? It can be writing the blog, but if you don't have a blog and a place to do it, then you got to get all that geared up. So that may or may not be where you want to spend your time. And then you want to look at where, again, in those current channels, have you exhausted? Like, have you gone back to those COIs lately? Can you do a targeted campaign? Like, is there something that's timely? So you want to create need is essentially what you want to do, right? So if you think about your COIs, what's something that's timely, relevant? Are we coming up on a specific point with your clients where something needs to be done? Right? Can we create a need, write a white paper, record a quick video and be like, hey, this is our, right, what, you know, value add on X, Y, or Z. We're seeing this alike. So we want to build out a drip, like some kind of a campaign to really, it's that what we call up or out. We're really trying to apply a very focused amount of attention in a few places to see if we can really jumpstart some activity there. So we want to look at centers of influence. Is there anything like, what can we do to kind of create attention and need? We want to look at all of our other current channels. Like, do we have any social going? If we have social going, right, what's a campaign we can really work on? Hey, if you have social media, by the way, follow Samantha Russell and do everything that she says, because she's brilliant at it. She's with 20 over 10. She's like 30,000 followers. And she's constantly on there dripping value, telling you what to do, how to do it. And so there's some really great stuff there. But like with social, you should be commenting 5 times for every time that you post, right? So revenue producing activity around social is you should be on there every day commenting, right? And not just at 8 a.m. So again, don't get stuck in there for 45 minutes, Ethan. It's 15 minutes in the morning. Maybe it's 15 minutes in the afternoon, 15 minutes at the end of the day. So you want to take half an hour, an hour at the beginning of your day and make sure that you do that for a couple of reasons. You've heard me say a lot, how you start your day sets your day. So we definitely want to start our day, right? Both mindset and methods and momentum. We want all of that focused on growth, right? So that helps to turn that flywheel. And then we just want to, again, pick up the phone and call people, send emails, like actual outreaches. So we can talk about that more in your one-on-one, But the idea is to look at the channels you already have, find the low-lying fruit. How can you create awareness and need? Build a campaign, write a white paper, go do client interviews. God, if you want to do a revenue, just go find all your top clients, go download the client interview guide, and then revenue producing every day, reach out to a couple, make sure you've got, right, a couple of those a week. Same thing with your centers of influence. Hey, we're really writing some white papers and we're creating some videos on topics that are really relevant to our audience. I'd love to interview you, take you to lunch, whatever. Like, I just kept you busy for like 90 days. Go back and watch the office hours. But we'll talk about that in your call. So watch the marketing RPA's lesson. What can you do on social? What can you do with clients? What can you do with COIs? Are your most immediate points of contact where you can flip the switch and actually generate activity with your activity? Right? The blogs, the pot, right? There's just, again, once you've got it going, you might get drips along the way and you will, and they'll pick up over time, but we're talking about near term, right? How to kick it in the butt in 90 days. Does that help, Ethan?
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome. That should help a bunch of you too. Adam, anything you want to add to that in terms of just getting your flywheel going?
Nope. I think you hit on it. I mean, it's the thing that I keep going back to as far as, first of all, asking that fundamental question that Dan Sullivan so eloquently put, who not how, and then reconcile that with Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great, the hedgehog concept. Just Google Jim Collins hedgehog concept, which is the intersection of what drives your economic engine, what are you the best in the world at doing, and what are you deeply passionate about? I think I got those three right, and find your lane. And when I saw that, it's like, that's where podcasting for me was just such a slam dunk. And lean into it.
Yeah. So look, balance, no different than clients. You got near-term money and long-term money, right? You got near-term efforts and long-term efforts. So those long-term efforts are great. And if you've got the runway and you're past rent ramen, then keep investing there. If you're in that emerging or right, really want to drive growth, right? Rosanna, Melissa, same, right? That same conversation, like those are the things you want to be doing to create that activity. And then again, we want to look at our marketing and our marketing lead gen and our sales funnels, right? To make sure we're converting as all the right people that we can. So hopefully that helps. Adam asked a question in the chat earlier that we use a lot in coaching, right? Those series of three questions, right? What's it in service of? What's it the cost of? But the first question in that is what I want to end with today, promptly on time. I think at 1 minute to go. Which is the number one question you can always ask yourself when you're not on track, right? You're not feeling clear, focused, right? You're just in any way above the line is, how am I feeling? Like, that's your power question. How am I feeling? Like, what's going on, right? We've talked about that. Is it like, just start there. The power question for your brain is, what am I solving for? If I am uncomfortable or I'm procrastinating, I'm not solving for procrastinating. That's the lie we tell ourselves. You know how to do stuff when you're committed to doing it. When the motivation and the vision align, you will do it every time. What am I solving for? Well, I feel overwhelmed and I'm solving for the fact that I haven't taken that next step. Why haven't I taken that next step? What do I need to solve for? Oh, I have to put my niche on my website and I'm not comfortable having that conversation with clients and I need to solve for that because that reservation is showing up. Okay, what's my next best step? And the cool thing about being in Limitless is if you don't know, you have more than one place, like office hours, practice calls, tribe, right? You literally are no more than minutes away from letting someone know that there's awareness and need and right, getting help to support you through that. So what am I feeling? How's it showing up? With that reflection, what is it that you're solving for this year, this quarter, this week, this day? So between now and our next call, as we end, reflect on what is the biggest lever that you're going to move in Q2 post-retreat as you do your Q2 planning. What's the biggest lever you can pull? And as you look at that lever, how are you feeling about it? What do you need to solve for? What is solving it in service of? Like, what is doing it in service of? What is solving it in service of? And what is it at the cost of? Right? The cost is I'm going to have to let go of this belief, or the cost is I'm going to have to, right, be willing to lose a couple of clients, or the cost is, but the cost really is that I can't do my more and better. So I'm really saying, Christy, I'm going to sit here and do this exact kind of work for the next 30 years. And I know when I say that, Christy's little heart on the inside goes, no, that's not a lie. Like when I put it that way, don't you instantly go, yeah, damn it, I hate it when she does that. There's no way. That's why I walked away. I was like, everything is great. And the idea of doing it for 30 years doesn't feel good. And that just should not, I should not feel, things should not be this great. And I should not feel that excited. Like, I should be jumping over the moon about this. Something is amiss here. Now, you don't have to check it all and move to Costa Rica, but if you want to, I highly recommend it. Backup plan B, join Limitless. We can do it here. And then you can use all your saved time and money to go to Costa Rica or anywhere else in the world you want. So this week, Adam, I, Jackie, Lauren, and the entire team are here to help you tribe and office hours, figure out how you're feeling and what you're solving for. And when you do those two things, ladies and gentlemen, you tend to build a wildly successful practice and a life that you love. It's a really great habit to pick up. With that, we'll let you go. Adam, Jackie, Lauren, Allison, everyone else, thanks so much for joining us today. You guys go forth, do great things. Remember, the only limits you have are the ones that you place on yourself. Everyone have a great week.